God's Smuggler by Brother Andrew continued. Disc 2.
I want to go into the ministry. Pastor Vanderhoop is helping me.
Kees made me squirm, and I got out of there just as soon as I politely could. The Veterans Hospital at Dawn was an enormous complex of treatment centers, dormitories, and rehabilitation units, but its chief quality was boredom. I disliked the exercises. I loathed the trade school, but the thing I hated most was the occupational therapy. We had to make vases out of floppy, sticky clay. I just never could get the hang of it. The trick was to put the lump of clay precisely on the center of the whirling wheel, then keep the wheel turning while your fingers worked the glob into a useful shape. Somehow I could never find that center. It was so frustrating that on more than one occasion I flung my hunk of clay against the wall. On first weekend leave, I went to see Teal. On the bus to Gorkum, I kept telling myself that she could not be as beautiful as I remembered. And then I limped through the door of her father's shop, and she was. Her eyes were blacker, her skin fairer than anyone else's in the world. Even with her father looking on, our handshake lingered longer than was necessary.
"Welcome home, Andrew."
Teal's father came around the counter, wiping fish scales on his apron. He shook my hand fervently.
"Tell me all about the Indies."
As soon as I could, I took Teal away from the fish shop. We spent the rest of the afternoon sitting and talking on a large capstan on the wharf. I told her about my homecoming, about Gelcher's husband and Ben's upcoming marriage. I told her about the rehabilitation center, how I hated working with the clay. And though I knew she would be disappointed, I told her that my religious life had come to a dead standstill. Teal was staring out across the harbor.
"And yet," she said gently, "God hasn't come to a standstill."
Suddenly she laughed.
"I think you're like one of your own lumps of clay, Andy. God has a plan for you, and he's trying to get you into the center of it, and you keep dodging and slithering away."
She turned her dark eyes on mine.
"How do you know? Maybe he wants to make you into something wonderful."
My eyes fell, and I pretended great interest in the cigarette butt I was crushing against the capstan.
"Like what, for instance?" I said.
Teal looked with distaste at the carpet of cigarette ends that I had spread on the pier around us.
"Like an ashtray," she said shortly. "How much do you smoke, Andy?"
It had crept up to 3 packs a day.
"I don't know," I said. "Well, something's making you cough. I don't think it's good for you."
"You're full of plans for my improvement, aren't you?"
I hadn't meant to say that. Why did I ruin things?